The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada. Get up, everyone. It's an important anniversary. 19 years ago today, I'm Hugh Hewitt and the ReliefFactor.com inside a very wet beltway where it was Noah-like yesterday. 19 years ago, I was trudging up the steps of the old studio in California. I had the shift after this, the 6 to 9 a.m. shift in California in those days. National show, but it was 9 and noon on the East Coast and 6 to 9 on the West Coast. I walked into the studio just before broadcast time, and in those days, Dwayne would come to work, and I said, Dwayne, somber music today, small plane has hit the World Trade Center. Who knows how it happened, but it did. That was the news report I'd listened to driving to the studio at 6 a.m. in the morning, California time. Sat down and was on the air for 8 hours of horror. I've got the tapes. Many people still come up to me today and tell me I was the person who told them about 9/11. Still happens more on the West Coast than anywhere else, of course. And I don't dwell on it. It's just that it's been 19 years, and I can remember it like yesterday, thinking 50,000 people and saying 50,000 people were dead on the air, thinking that the country was under attack in D.C. at 6 or 7 locations as opposed to 2. Stunned, alarmed, but trying to remain calm and doing my job. It was quite the day, and we remember it. So I thought I would begin today with, since he's running, Joe Biden on ABC News with Peter Jennings back in 2001. He was on the air as well that night, cut number 11.
Senator is the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, so he is party to all of the information in the intelligence community. Was the intelligence community so taken up with the idea of chemical and biological warfare against the United States that they didn't pay enough attention to this possibility?
Well, they clearly understood this was a possibility. The problem has been we have been focusing, in my view, I don't want to second guess anybody here. Look, the prospect of a chemical, biological, pathogen probability is real. Some of us, literally as recently as yesterday, I spoke to the National Press Club and talked about the fact that it's just as easy to fly from National Airport into the White House as it is to, do the same thing in New York. I mean, look, we know all these possibilities exist.
So the vice president said on 9/11, 19 years ago, that he was calling his shot, that it was very easy to fly into the Capitol or the White House. Actually, the speech he gave on 9/10, this is what he said, talking about terrorism a day before terrorism.
But even the Joint Chiefs says that a strategic nuclear attack is less likely than a regional conflict, a major theater war, terrorist attacks at home or abroad, or any number of other real issues. We'll have diverted all that money to address the least likely threat, while the real threat comes to this country in the hold of a ship, the belly of a plane, or smuggled into a city in the middle of the night in a vial in a backpack. And I ask you, You want to do us damage. Are you more likely to send a missile you're not sure can reach us with a biological or chemical weapon because you don't have the throw weight to put a nuclear weapon on it and no one's anticipating that in the near term? With a return address saying it came from us, here's where we are? Or are you more likely to put somebody with a backpack crossing the border from Vancouver down to Seattle? Or coming up the New York Harbor with a rusty old ship with an atom bomb sitting in the hull? Which are you more likely to do? And what defense do we have against those other things?
Well, you see, he did talk about terrorism the day before. He did not talk about airplanes hitting the car. That was 19 years ago. Joe Biden hasn't changed. I mean, he's cognitively declined, but he hasn't changed. Vice President Trump was, President Trump was in Michigan yesterday after the vice president was in Michigan 2 days ago. And here's what he had to say about Michigan yesterday, cut number 28.
Does anybody want to have somebody from Antifa as a member and as a resident of your suburb? I don't think so too much. Say, darling, who moved in next door? Oh, it's a resident of Antifa. No, thank you. Let's get out of here. Let's get the hell out of here, darling. Let's leave our suburbs. Oh, I wish Trump were president. He wouldn't have allowed that to happen. And that's exactly right. I won't allow it to happen.
He continued, cut 29.
Michigan will decide whether we will quickly return to record prosperity or whether we'll allow Sleepy Joe to impose $4 trillion in tax hikes, ban American energy, confiscate your guns, shut down the economy and tell your governor to open up your state. You know, it's all Democrat governors, and I think they do it for political reasons, you know, because there'll be less activity. You'd be doing even better if you had a governor that knew what the hell she was doing. You got to open up the state.
Speaking of politicizing the pandemic, Barbara Ferrer is the L.A. County Health Director. She did a conference call yesterday. You may not hear this anywhere else, but Barbara Ferrer said this, cut number one.
Who's going to need some up? And then what is the experience around cases and outbreaks when we open even for a relatively small number of people to be on campus? So we don't realistically anticipate that we would be moving to either Tier 2 or to reopening K through 12 schools at least through, at least until after the election, after, you know, in early November. Like when we just look at the timing of everything.
Stop. After the election, do you get it? Do you understand? People are keeping shutdowns in place until after the election because they think it hurts President Trump. Now, Long Beach yesterday announced that their city schools will not reopen until the end of January, and there's a rebellion going on. They may have turned Long Beach into Trump country, which is pretty hard to imagine. Donald Trump, by the way, wanted to make sure that Michigan knew where Joe Biden was on NAFTA. Cut number 30.
In fact, Biden was interviewed today on, there they are, CNN. No, he was just interviewed today. He was interviewed by Jake Tapper, who I find to be a nice guy. I don't think he likes me too much, but that's okay. He was interviewed on CNN, and they said, which is better, NAFTA or the USMCA? He said, no, no, the USMCA. And Tapper goes, what? Couldn't believe it. Said, USMCA. He made a mistake. From his perspective, he made a mistake because he doesn't know what's going on, even though he's right. He doesn't know. They were a little surprised to hear that. They gave him a few chances. Let's ask that question again.
I will play some of Joe Biden with Jake Tapper later. The president's right. Jake is a nice guy. We're not buddies. We're not pals. We're not friends. We're no longer colleagues. We worked together in 2020, and we've had arguments since. But by the way, there's a kind of a made-up campaign against Jake for urging a candidate to run, Sean Duffy, to run in Pennsylvania. And it just Sean Duffy's from Wisconsin. Sean Parnell to run against Connor Lamb. And it's just kind of back and forth. I have with a million candidates. It's a silly story. Don't bank on anything like that. Some of my friends on the right are making a big deal out of this, and it's not a big deal. And Tapper and I are not friends, but I just don't think it's a big deal. I just think that's a silly story. But what's not a silly story is what Biden told Tapper yesterday, and we'll come back to that after the break. There's a lot more. By the way, there's a lot of stories about Russia and China and the North Koreans and Iranians hacking us. The Russians are trying to hack us. You know, they've targeted Dwayne. The Russians and the Chinese and the Norks and the Iranians, they've all targeted Dwayne. But you have to come to work and turn on your computer before you actually can be targeted. So they have not successfully targeted Dwayne. It's been remarkable. We have 100% success rate. So we have the answer to all this hacking that's going on, which is you should hire Dwayne. You'll never get hacked. It works. It really does work. Don't go anywhere, America. You're listening to The Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. One thing you need to know, Senate Democrats blocked a relief bill for COVID yesterday. They know a lot of small businesses still need aid, and they'd rather have a talking point than a rescue package. So they filibustered Mitch McConnell's massive relief bill. Now, McConnell's bill is different from Pelosi's bill in the House, but had Senate Democrats not filibustered it, instead passed it, it had a majority, but not the 60 votes it needs, it would have gone to a House-Senate conference and they could have worked out the deal. But they're not interested in that. They really are not interested in that. T.J. Ducklow is Joe Biden's national press secretary. He went on Brett Baer yesterday, cut number 24.
End with this. Has Joe Biden ever used a teleprompter during local interviews or to answer Q&A with supporters?
Brett, we are not going to engage. This is straight from the Trump campaign's talking points.
But yeah, they're using it.
And what it does, Brett, is it's trying to distract the American people.
They talk about it every day. Can you say yes or no?
That's because they talk about it every day, Brett, because they don't have a coherent strategy.
Well, you have an answer. Yes or no?
Brett, they talk about it every day because
so they obviously do use it, and they're embarrassed by it. But T.J. Ducklow, not very good. In fact, listen to this. This is T.J. Ducklow. Now, I don't know T.J. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being and has a nice dog. T.J. Ducklow on with Brett Baer last night. This is Joe Biden's number one campaign spokesperson, cut number 26.
What specifically would the former vice president have done?
Well, let's get a few things straight. The vice president was not against the travel ban, first of all. Second of all, let's remember an important distinction. Donald Trump was the president of the United States. It was on Donald
I'm
Trump.
I'm asking you
to
if
take,
Joe Biden was
it was on
the president
Donald,
of the United States.
It was
States,
on Donald Trump to
was.
Take action to actually protect the
and
American
he,
people.
He closed the Joe, travel to China.
Joe Biden wrote an op-ed in USA Today in January warning that the threat was coming. Joe Biden said in February that Donald Trump should get people on the ground in China. What did Donald Trump do? Donald Trump was praising China. Donald Trump was praising President Xi's response, saying that they had it under control, when clearly he knew, as we now know from Bob Woodward, they did not have it under control. He should have been protecting the American people. He should have been putting real plans in place.
So let me just
to
clarify.
Actually confront this incredibly dangerous
understand.
Threat.
Let me just clarify. You're saying that Joe Biden was for closing down travel from China when the president did it?
Joe Biden has been clear, and I can send you the fact checks if they're helpful, Brett. Joe Biden has been clear that he was not against that travel ban.
But he was for it?
Joe Biden has been clear about this, Brett. I can send you the fact checks if they're helpful. This has been fact checked into oblivion.
Okay, I'm just asking you the question. You're saying, yes, he was for the China travel ban when the president implemented it 48 hours after receiving that briefing.
The important thing about the travel ban.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
And I know, Brett, I know that you all like to cite the travel ban. I know the president.
No. The president does. That's why I'm bringing it up. Obviously, it's going to be in the debate.
Brett, hold on. The important thing to know about the travel ban is that even after the president implemented that travel ban, says that he implemented it, tens of thousands of people came in
okay,
and out of
I'm
the country.
I'm going to take it that
and
you're not going to answer that question. You're going to send me some fact checks.
What was Donald Trump doing, Brett? He was ignoring the virus.
Let's continue to fact check.
He was praising China. Go ahead.
Let's continue to fact check. Here's what Dr. Fauci said when asked if there was a discrepancy with what the president said privately and what the president said publicly.
I may not be tuned in to the right thing that they're talking about, but I didn't really see any discrepancies between what he told us and what we told him and what he ultimately came out publicly and said.
So is Dr. Fauci wrong?
Brett, I know that you all are working overtime to try to find excuses for this president.
Do you believe TJ Ducklow? He won't answer question. I want to go back to the other one, too, because it's the better one. Cut number 24.
End with this. Has Joe Biden ever used a teleprompter during local interviews or to answer Q&A with supporters?
Brett, we are not going to engage. This is straight from the Trump campaign's
talking
points.
Yeah, they're using it.
And what it does, Brett, is it's trying to distract the American people.
They talk about it every day. Can you say yes or no?
That's because they talk about it every day, Brett, because they don't have a coherent strategy.
Well, you have an answer. Yes or no?
Brett, they talk about it every day because
You know, I don't ever tell anyone how to run their show. I would have asked TJ Ducklow, and he's welcome to come on the show. Look, TJ, yes or no, is there, as Brett did, but I would have asked it 25 times. Because there's either a teleprompter or there's not. The significance of it is up to the voter, but the significance of TJ Ducklow is that obviously there is, and they are afraid to admit it because it says something about Joe Biden, when in fact all you have to do is say, yeah, there's a teleprompter and it doesn't mean anything. Honestly, they're not a very good campaign team. It's a terrible candidate. It's going to be a Trump win. Stay tuned, America. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Now, Sonny Bunch is on suspension, but he's appealed the suspension. And so, like the NFL, we let him play and speak during the weighing of the evidence against him, but he continues to slander Dune online. And so, Sonny, we're going to not talk about Dune until the adjudication of your case, but we just wanted the audience to be aware. We have been aware of your malicious attacks on aforementioned Dune, and we will not indulge them. But we thought we would go to Tenet first, because a look back, I did attend Tenet. I attended Tenet.
You went to go see it.
With a national security professional who had to leave the theater 5 times during the movie, and at the end of which, the national security professional knew as much about what was going on as I did, who never left the movie. A few people share this, including Ross Douthat and John Podhoretz. Well, you were not upset by the fact that nobody in the world has any understanding what's going on?
Well, if you remember last week, I believe I did say that this movie is kind of unspoilable.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you can't really tell people what is happening in the movie in a succinct enough way to make them unable to enjoy it. If spoilers are a thing that they really care about.
No, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, there's no way to know what happened. I mean, I'm a smart guy. I didn't do well in high school physics. I don't know what entropy means, but the national security professional kept asking me what happened. I said, doesn't matter. Watch the next car crash, because it was terrifically visual, yeah. But it didn't matter.
Yeah, no, it is a movie that, I mean, it really is kind of like a high-toned Michael Bay film.
Yes.
In a very real way, insofar as the plot is not that important to the action that is happening on screen. The action that is happening on screen is extremely visual and kinetic and interesting. And again, Nolan does this weird thing where he is trying to literalize time. He's trying to make literal a thing that is intangible. And he's been doing this for a while now. I mean, it's the same thing in Interstellar with the whole infinite library tesseract in space thing, where, you know, the Matthew McConaughey's character is going through this kind of infinite library, and it represents the 4D representation of space and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's on the one hand gaudily audacious, this whole time running backwards and forwards and characters, seeing themselves and talking to themselves in the past and in the future and blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, it does create problems for those of us, and that's all of us, really, who view time linearly.
I got to look at the screen. I'll tell you what, to explain to the audience, it's Mission Impossible meets Back to the Future 3 meets Toy Story 2. And the Toy Story 2 part are the G.I. Joes deploying, because that last scene when they're coming and going off of the big choppers, that was just wild. So I'll go see it again. When I went to the first show when I knew the theater had been cleaned. I had the top row. I had the mask. I did the whole nine yards and in an IMAX. And couldn't understand half the dialogue, by the way, because that's the IMAX problem. But nevertheless, a fine 4.5 stars from you. What's on your agenda this week?
4.5 out of 5?
Yes.
Just a half star gone for not being able to understand anything.
Yes, that's it. For just being visually overwhelmed. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like that's about right, right? That's the thing about this movie, is that it really is an overwhelming experience. And this is why I understand Nolan demanding that it be seen on the biggest screen possible, you know, saying that we're not going to do the premium VOD thing. We're going to wait and we're going to put it in theaters when theaters are ready to reopen. I don't blame him for that.
Now, there was a guy who taught at Caltech. I can never remember his name. The Mr. Physics man who could explain anything to anyone. I'd like to go to, he's dead now. I'd like to go to the movie with him, because then maybe it would make a lick of sense to me. But nevertheless, I enjoyed it immensely. Now, I have a recommendation for you, by the way. Have you ever watched Shitzel?
No.
It's an Israeli Netflix series on a little ultra-Orthodox neighborhood in Jerusalem that I've stumbled upon, which I absolutely love. So that's my recommendation to you. What are you telling people to watch?
Okay. I've got two recommendations this week. One is a TV series. It's on HBO Max. Exclusive to HBO Max, called Raised by Wolves, and it is a sci-fi movie or TV show. It's a miniseries, 10 episodes, that's produced by Ridley Scott. The first two episodes are directed by Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott, of course, is the creator of the Alien series.
And Blade Runner, which was unfortunately prophetic about everything.
Yeah, Blade Runner, which, if you've seen Blade Runner 2049, that's a lot, very much what San Francisco looks like these days.
I'll go to the original Blade Runner. I think that's what San Francisco looks like these days, too.
Yeah. So it's called Raised by Wolves. It is a weird sci-fi show. It's about the first episode details these two androids who have brought a cache of embryos to a new planet to escape our ruined Earth, and they are going to raise these children and teach them to be atheists, because what has destroyed the previous world is belief in God, right? And what one of the things I like about this show is that it kind of inverts the standard religious believers are terrible, atheists are great, rubric that so many of these shows and movies operate under. It is more clever than that, and it is. But on top of all that, it's just interesting sci-fi. It's not hard sci-fi. I wouldn't say it's
HBO exclusive. That, Ridley Scott, Raised by Wolves. That's easy. All right, what's number two?
Yeah.
Dune.
Number two is a little bit weirder. Well, Dune not out yet. Dune won't be out until November or whatever. People should watch the trailer for Dune. Avoid the book.
I have plans within plans within plans for you, Sonny Bunch. You don't get Dune at all, so.
That's fair. It's not that I don't get Dune. It's that I reject Dune, I think, is more the problem. It doesn't do anything for me. But my other recommendation is a Netflix movie called I'm Thinking of Ending Things, which is written and directed by Charlie Kaufman. Charlie Kaufman, of course, is the writer behind Being John Malkovich adaptation, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh,
he's kind of best thought of as a postmodernist surrealist filmmaker. And the movie here, I'm Thinking of Ending Things, is no different. It's on Netflix again. The easy way to describe it is that it details a trip to the parents of a man in a relationship. There are two people in this relationship. One is played by Jesse Plemons, a.k.a. Meth Damon from Breaking Bad, and in some other stuff. And a woman played by Jessie Buckley. We hear her voiceover, her kind of monologue throughout this thing. She wants to break off the relationship, but she's kind of too afraid to do so. She doesn't want to go through the hassle of it all. That's the very boring way to set up this movie. It's much more than that. It takes place largely in the heads of the characters. It is, again, it's very surreal. And weirdly, like Tenet, it is very concerned with time and the idea of time and kind of how we float through the world and how the world floats through us and how we experience memories of time. I don't want to give too much away about this. I will say that, look, here, it's a soft recommend because it's not a movie for everyone. It is a movie that is going to frustrate many people because it's a little bit weird and the narrative is fractured and it is intentionally messing with people in a certain way that a lot of folks aren't going to like. But I thought it was really a fascinating movie that works on a bunch of different levels. And one of them is that it's almost a weird piece of cultural criticism. Like, it feels like Charlie Kaufman has poured many of his pet objections to our dumb online conversations into it. There's an extended 2 or 3 minute bit about the anger about the song "Baby, It's Cold Outside" from the feminist left, for instance. That feels like Kaufman. He has the characters played by Jesse Plemons and Jesse Buckley kind of talking to each other about this, and it almost feels like Kaufman arguing with himself about the woke critique of "Baby, It's Cold Outside," which, again, you know, is interesting.
That reminds me to get the Sonny Bunch reaction to Cuties, which is sweeping the internet, and which doesn't take me long to assess, but people will know what I think about it. What does Sonny Bunch think about it?
Well, look, I haven't seen it yet, and I don't want to jump into this discourse without having seen it. I will say that when I'm reading, so the argument about this movie is that it is sexualizing tween girls by having them perform a dance routine, a sexualized, you know, kind of twerking dance routine in this film. This film that is being kind of posed as both a comment on Islam and the kind of patriarchal, sexist, regressive nature of fundamentalist Islam on the one hand versus the challenges of modernity for young women in multicultural France on the other, right? This girl finds herself stuck between a future that is abhorrent and a past that is abhorrent, and part of being stuck in that is performing in this again very sexual dance routine that she rejects. Now, again, I haven't seen the movie. I don't want to say one way or the other how I come down on it because
I have to say is I own Amazon and I'm very glad that Netflix is clueless.
about what, I mean, this is the most predictable thing in the world, and they are apparently stunned by the revulsion with which it's met.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix didn't do themselves any favors with the initial commercial rollout of this film, right? They rolled out a trailer that made it look like a step up to the streets type movie, right?
Yeah.
Except with 12-year-olds shaking their butts in the camera.
And that I just want to say, as an Amazon shareholder, I want to thank him for that. Sonny, I'm out of time. We will have Dune Court next week, or maybe sometime. You're on probation. In the meantime, we will go and watch Raised by Wolves, and I appreciate it. Tarzana Joe is next, America. Stay listening to The Hugh Hewitt Show. Joined now by Tarzana Joe, Poet Laureate of The Hugh Hewitt Show. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Hugh. How are you today?
Terrific.
Okay, well, I have for you a poem for this day. He didn't only light a room, he did away with dark. An MBA who sang and danced, I give you my friend Mark. He capered in a play I wrote. Don't worry, I won't quote it. No need to say he played the part much better than I wrote it. So gifted that he stood apart, but still one of the guys. You knew he heard you with his heart because he listened with his eyes. So when I tell you who he was, your ears, dear listeners, lend. Executive at Freddie Mac, and husband, father, friend. Then, like 3,000 others who left home unconcerned, he made a trip one fateful day from which no one returned. 2 weeks of doubt, 2 weeks of prayer. Please tell me that he wasn't there, that somehow from the fire and dust he got away. He must. The terror, the disaster, the pain, the loss, the waste. What horror to imagine the moment that he faced. I know, though, from the man he was, and by the life he chose, that he, when it was finished, instead of falling, rose. That's a poem for Mark by Tarzana Joe. And the man's name is Mark Schirmeyer, a friend of mine from our days at Wake Forest University. And those who are so moved may contribute in his name to the Mark Schirmeyer Scholarship Fund at Wake Forest.
19 years ago today. I hadn't known that, Tarzana Joe. You've never told me before that you had a friend in the towers.
I in passing, I've mentioned Mark from time to time, but I don't think I gave him the tribute he deserved. It's been very, you know, it's very difficult. I 2 weeks after the incident, my friend out here, John, and I, who were New Yorkers and transplanted to California, were sitting down to lunch and talked that, well, we lived in New York all those years, and we knew no one that was in the tower or was affected. And then I went back to my desk, and I got an email from Wake Forest telling me that Mark had...
Well, I am so glad you did that and remind people of the day that it is and remind people of the faces that we forget and the lives that were lost, but to do so in a way that is charming and winsome, and I hope everyone knows that it will be available at TarzanaJoe.com. Joe, have you ever been asked, commissioned via TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com to write another 9/11 poem?
No. No, I've written some elegies before and even one last night. But not for 9/11.
Well, that was very touching. Thank you, Joe. You can find Joe at TarzanaJoe.com. You can commission a poem via Writing Joe, TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Now I want to go to Mike Pence yesterday in Pennsylvania responding to the Woodward kerfuffle. Which I believe is a total kerfuffle because I don't think the president lied about anything I'm going to talk about. Cut number, what was that? That was an interesting little video clip of the past. Cut number 20, please. Mike Pence talking to WHTM in Pennsylvania.
From very early on, I mean, the president suspended all travel from China. No president had ever done that in the long history of this country. He stood up the White House coronavirus task force. When he tapped me to lead that task force in late February, He told me to marshal the full resources of the federal government, to spare no expense, but also to bring in private sector companies to partner with us. We reinvented testing. We supplied hundreds of millions of PPE supplies to doctors and nurses and hospitals all across America. We developed medicines that have literally been saving lives every day, and we're well on our way to having a coronavirus vaccine before the end of this year. That's in record time, and we'll have millions of doses to distribute. So from very early on, President Trump has made it clear that we would spare no expense. We've had urgency leaning into this whole of government approach, a whole of America approach, and I couldn't be more proud of the American people or our American president for the way we have all continued to make our way through this global pandemic.
You know, we're going to play Nobody Does It Better going out instead of our normal Last of the Mohicans, because I think that is the response of the Trump campaign, which is nobody does it better. Nobody could have done it better. We balanced panic and urgency. We balanced comprehensive response with downplaying fear. We balanced everything perfectly, and I was happy to talk to Bob Woodward about it. In fact, that's going to be what they end up saying. Mark Kelly, running for Senate in Arizona, got caught on tape. Can we play cut number 23? Cut number 23.
I think the word hasn't gotten out how bad it is for him. You know, it's gotten so bad that we recently had to release him back into the wild. He's like halfway between like an orangutan and a howler monkey. We even changed his name to Rodrigo.
All right, so let's stop there, and I want you to remember that George Allen was driven from the United States Senate for a lot less than calling somebody an ethnic slur like Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly should just withdraw from the race. Arizona's like 40% Latino, and he's calling people ethnic names. That's Mark Kelly, Democrat for Senate in Arizona. This is the Trump campaign's new theme, I think. Don't go anywhere. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.